بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ولعل في هذا الدرس نتكلم عن فوائد من كتاب الأزهار المنثورة في تبيين أن أهل الحديث هم الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة. ولا يخفى على الجميع بأن هذا الإسلام بدأ غريبا في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، عندما بعثه الله سبحانه وتعالى لتبيين الناس حقيقة الإسلام، وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك، وبدأ في بدء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للدعوة هذا الإسلام غريبا، وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن هذا الإسلام سوف يعود غريبا كما ثبت في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه في الصحيحين. وهذا الأمر الذي نبه عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لابد أن يكون، وهذا في آخر الزمان، فخرجت فرق كثيرة، الكل يدعي السنة ويدعي الدعوة إلى الإسلام الصحيح، وهو في الحقيقة منحرف، وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك بعد اتفاق الأمة في عهده وفي عهد الصحابة وفي عهد التابعين، كما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك في حديث ابن مسعود في الصحيحين: خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. فخير الناس قرن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم الصحابة، ثم التابعين، وبعد ذلك افترقت الأمة إلى فرق وجماعات، خاصة في هذا العهد في آخر الزمان، كما بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك في حديث ابن عمرو، وهو حديث حسن أخرجه الترمذي في سننه وغيره. وسوف تفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار لا واحدة. قيل: وما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال: ما علي أنا اليوم وأصحابي. قال ذلك عندما بين افتراق اليهود والنصارى، فبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مصير الأمة إلى افتراق وإلى تشتت، لكن الناجية من هذا الافتراق وهذا التشتت فرقة واحدة وطائفة واحدة، فيجب على جميع الإسلام الدخول في هذه الطائفة، وهي الطائفة الناجية المنصورة، والذي يتخلف عنها فهو هالك. بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه الصحيحين: لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين، لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم إلى قيام الساعة. وبين أهل العلم من هي الطائفة الناجية من هذه الفرق، ويجب على كل مسلم أن يتعرف على هذه الطائفة الناجية في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، لكي يدخل فيها وينجو. وهذه الطائفة كسفينة نوح، من ركبها نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك، فيجب على المسلم أن يتعرف على هذه الطائفة ويعرف منهج هذه الطائفة وأصول هذه الطائفة وقواعد هذه الطائفة، ثم يتعلم العلم ويتخذه منهجا ويسلكه كما سلكه الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. وهذه الطائفة هم أهل الحديث، هم أهل الأثر، وهم في هذا العصر هم السلفيون. فلا بد من التعرف على هذه الطائفة، لأن نحن في هذا الزمان نعيش في أمواج من الأحزاب والجماعات المفرقة للأمة، فلا بد أن ندخل في الطائفة هذه ونتعرف عليها، وهي طائفة الحق. وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك في حديث أبي هريرة، وهو حديث حسن أخرجه الإمام أحمد في المسند وأبو نعيم في الحلية وفي الإمامة، وأخرجه كذلك الكلبازي في معاني الأخبار. عندما سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الناس خير، قال أنا ومن معي، ثم من يا رسول الله؟ قال الذين على الأثر، ثم من يا رسول الله؟ قال الذين على الأثر، ثم من يا رسول الله؟ ثم رفضهم، يعني رفض جميع الفرق والجماعات، وأثبت الذين على الخير والذين يمشون على سنة النبي وسنة الصحابة هم أهل الأثر. ثم بين بعد ذلك أهل العلم كما سوف يأتي إن شاء الله الآن. نعم.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our sheikh, he began by recounting some of the things he had said. He began by stating that we are going to study in this series of lectures a look at some of the benefits from the book, Al-Azhar al-Manthura, the book that the sheikh has written that has been translated.
It's translated, right?
This is translated and published by Troyd Publications. We're going to look at some sections from the book and gain some benefits from it. And firstly, he said, recounting what he had mentioned in the khutbah earlier today, that Islam, of course the religion of Islam, began as something strange in this time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent him to make tahqiq, or to actualize Islam and to teach the people how to implement Islam. And this Islam began strange in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it will return to a state of strangeness, as we have clarified in the authentic hadith that is in Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abi Hurairah. He said, so then this return to the state of strangeness that we are witnessing is, of course, something that must take place, and something that is that has been predicted, and we have been told it's going to happen, so it must happen. And we have seen that in this day and time, a number of deviant sects and astray groups have come out. And all of them claim that they are upon the truth and they are upon the haq. And the reality is that they are munharif. The reality is that they are indeed astray. And the Prophet ﷺ, he had clarified their straying when he said that the best of the nas, the best of the people are my generation. And then he said after that, and then those who follow after them, and then those who follow after them. So that means that the Prophet, the best generation is the generation of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the companions, and then the tabi'un. And then you will see after that, in those early generations, that the people split up into groups and sects, and that continued on until our time. And we witness that in our day and time, this division of the Muslims into many groups and sects. And so the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has actually told us and informed us about the splitting that must take place. And it is that he said that the ummah, or my ummah, will split up into 73 groups. My ummah will split up into 73 groups, as the Christians and Jews split up into 71 and 72 groups. All of them will be in the hellfire. All of them are in the hellfire except for one. And then he explained that that one is the Najiyah, the one that is saved, the saved sect. It is what he is upon and what his companions were upon. So then, it is then obligatory, since the Prophet ﷺ had clarified that only one of those groups and one of those understandings is correct, and one of those will lead to success, that we acquaint ourselves and enter ourselves into that sect, enter ourselves into that group, so that we will be victorious. Otherwise, if we do not do that, then we will be destroyed. As the Prophet ﷺ said, there will always remain a group of my ummah, ظاهرين على الحق, uppermost and apparent upon the truth. No one will hurt them. Those who oppose them will not be able to hurt them. So we want to become from this group, and it is obligatory on every one of us to become acquainted with who they are, so that we can join them, so that we can enter into this group. And this group, it is like the ship of Noah. It is like the ark of Noah. Whoever enters, whoever rides on this ship, and whoever boards this ship will be saved. And whoever does not board this ship will be destroyed. And he said it is obligatory on us then to understand and to acquaint ourselves with the foundations and the principles that this group goes by. And then we can, insha'Allah ta'ala, take the path that this group takes. Take the path of the Sahaba. And they are the people of Hadith. The people who take this path, they are called the people of Hadith, Ahlul Hadith. And they are called in this day and time as Salafiyun. And we are the people who we are living in amongst tidal waves, or amongst waves of these different groups that we witness every day. Different groups. And the Prophet ﷺ had explained the reality of this when he said in the hadith, which is on the authority of Abu Huraira, found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and Al-Kalabadi and others. He said, he was asked, which of the people are best? And he said, I and my companions, and then those upon the who follow that way, those upon the athar, those who take the pathway, those who follow the steps. And then he said, and then those after them, and then those after them, and then after that, he said, as if he didn't want to talk about those who came after that. And he said, we're going to discuss after that some affairs related to this, inshallah.
وبين أهل العلم في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين بينوا بأن هذه الطائفة هم أهل الحديث والذي ذكر ذلك الإمام البخاري وهذا الأثر أثر الإمام البخاري أخرجه الخطيب البغدادي في شرف أصحاب الحديث بإسناد صحيح وكذلك قال ذلك الإمام ابن المبارك وأثر ابن المبارك أخرجه الخطيب البغدادي بشرف أصحاب الحديث بإسناد صحيح وكذلك ابن المديني قال عن الطائفة المنصورة هم أهل الحديث في هذا الحديث وأخرجه الترمذي في سننه بإسناد صحيح وكذلك قال ذلك الإمام أحمد بن حنبل كما أخرجه عنه الخطيب البغدادي بشرف أصحاب الحديث فهؤلاء أهل العلم بينوا بأن الطائفة المنصورة هم أهل الحديث ولا يظن بأن أهل الإسلام كلهم على الحق فأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين ذلك بأن هذه الأمة سوف تفترق وما افترقوا إلا بسبب فساد منهجهم فلا بد أن نسلك المسلك القويم السديد الذي تنجو به أنت من الدنيا والآخرة وهذا هو الأصل ولا يستغرب في تبين أهل الحديث بأنهم الطائفة المنصورة من قبل أهل العلم كما بين الشيخ ناصر الدين الألباني في السلسلة الصحيحة نعم
The Sheikh goes on to say that regarding the hadith of there will not cease to be a group of people uppermost upon the truth, he said that Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's authentic on him, he said that those people, that group that will be uppermost upon the truth, they are Ahlul Hadith, they are the people of Hadith. And he said, Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he collected it in his book called Sharaf al-Sahab al-Hadith. And also Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, also said the same statement, and the chain is authentic. And Ibn al-Madini, he also said it, it's in the Sunan of at-Tirmidhi, and the chain is authentic. And also it's been recorded the same statement on Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and that is also collected in the book of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. He said all of these great imams, they had clarified that the group being referred to by the Prophet ﷺ in that hadith, they are Ahlul Hadith. And it's not that every single person who ascribes to Islam, all of the people who are ascribing to Islam are all upon the Haqq. Rather, the Haqq is only, the Haqq is the Haqq, and whoever is upon it, they are upon the right way, they are upon the way that will save them. the way that grants them safety and victory or success in the dunya and the akhirah. And it's not strange to find that a great number of the Muslims are not taking that path.
ذكر الدليل على أن تاريخ أهل الحديث من زمن الصحابة والتابعين وتابع التابعين ومن بعدهم أن أهل التقليد يقولون أن أهل الحديث لم يكونوا في زمن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ولا في زمن التابعين ولا تابع التابعين رحمهم الله تعالى ولم يكن أحد من المسلمين السابقين متسميا بأهل الحديث في زمن السلف الصالح المشهود لهم بالخيرية أو بالخير ومذهب أهل الحديث إذ لم يكن موجودا إذ ذاك فهو لا شك مذهب جديد فأهل التقليد خصوم أهل الحديث من أهل الافتراق يريدون غمز أهل الحديث وأضلال الناس عن الحق فبينوا بأن أهل الحديث هذا مذهب جديد وهو ليس كذلك بل هذا المذهب قام عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من إظهار السنة وتبين السنة وتبين الحديث فأخذ الصحابة ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فحفظوا الحديث ونشروا الحديث وعلموا الناس الحديث وكذلك في زمن التابعين وهكذا إلى يومنا هذا. قال الدهلوي رحمه الله تعالى في تاريخ أهل الحديث صفحة 21 ولا ريب في أن قائل هذا القول جاهل بتاريخ أهل الحديث ولا يريد به إلا سوء الظن بطائفة أهل الحديث لينفر الناس عنهم ويريد به قطع الطريق عن وصولهم إلى الاهتداء بالكتاب والسنة فهذا هو المتجرأ والمفتري انتهى كلامه وإنه قد ثبت بالأدلة القطعية الصريحة الواضحة أن أهل الحديث طائفة قديمة من يوم النبوة كان أولهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين قال أبو بكر بن أبي داود رحمه الله تعالى رأيت في المنام أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه وأنا بسجتان أصنف حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه فقلت له إني أحبك فقال أنا أول صاحب حديث كان في الدنيا أخرجه الخطيب في تاريخ بغداد وذكر له وجها وذكر وجها آخر كذلك الذهبي وذكر كذلك هذا الوجه ابن حجر في الإصابة وأبو هريرة هو الصحابي الجليل قال ابن حجر رحمه الله تعالى في الإصابة ديم 12 صفحة 68 وقد أجمع أهل الحديث على أنه أكثر الصحابة حديثا قال الدهلوي في تاريخ أهل الحديث صفحة 25 ولا ريب أن أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه صدق وعدل في قوله أنه كان في الدنيا أول أهل الحديث وهذه حكاية عن حال حياته كأنه في عهد الرسالة كان موصوفا باسم أهل الحديث عند حضور النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكثرة أحاديثه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انتهى كلامه نعم.
Then the Sheikh goes on to begin from the part of his book, the introduction of his book. He says that verily the people of taqlid, the people of blind following, and the people who want to enforce blind following, they say that Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith, they did not exist in the time of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, nor did they exist in the time of the Tabi'un, and nor did they exist in the generation after them, may Allah have mercy on all of them. And they did not, you did not find the early Muslims grabbing or ascribing to the madhab of Ahlul Hadith in any time of the Salaf al-Salih, those generations which are referred to as being generations of goodness. And the madhab of Ahlul Hadith, since it wasn't, they based their discussion on that, since it was not present in those times, and that is, it must be a new sect. He said, so here you have the people of Taqlid, the people who have iftiraq, the people who want the ummah to split up into different groups. They claim that the Ahlul Hadith, the madhab of Ahlul Hadith, is a madhab that is new and something jadid and something that was not around in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the earlier generations. He said, rather, what's clear is that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who established this madhab with clarifying the haq and defending the haq, clarifying the truth and clarifying the sunnah to the people. And it was the companions who took that from him. It was the companions who learned the sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implemented it and taught it and spread it throughout the lands, and then it was the tabi'un who took it from them. So then he said that Ad-Dahlawi said in the book called Tariq al-Hadith, page 21, and no doubt that any person who says this kind of statement is jahil, is ignorant with regards to the history of al-Hadith. And he only wants with that to speak evil of the group of Ahlul Hadith, or the madhab of Ahlul Hadith, to cause the people to flee from them. And he wants by that to cut off the road for anyone to reach their guidance, the guidance that is by way of the book and the sunnah. And that is the true liar, that is the one who invents, and he's the liar. And verily it has been established by way of authentic and clear obvious evidence is that the people of Hadith, they are an old, an ancient group, a group that has a history from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the days of prophethood. And the first of them was the companions. The first of them were the companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them. He went on to say that Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, I saw in a dream that Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, while I was writing his hadith, he saw in his dream while I was writing the hadith of while he was writing the hadith of Abu Huraira, I said to him, verily I love you. And so he replied in the dream, I am the first sahib al hadith, I am the first of the companions of the hadith, and that was ever existed in the dunya. And this has been narrated, and it has been collected by al Khatib al Baghdadi in his book Tariq Baghdad, the ninth volume, the 467th page, by way of Al-Barqani. He said that I read upon Abu al-Qasim ibn Nuhas, and I heard from Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood. He mentioned the chain, and he mentioned another chain for it also. And he said there that from this we understand that Abu Huraira, he was the outstanding companion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah be pleased with him. And then Ibn Hajar rahimahullahu ta'ala said in his book Al-Isaba, the 12th volume, the 68th page, that verily the people of Hadith have all agreed that he was, and Abu Huraira, he was the most of all of the companions in terms of Hadith. He gathered the most Hadith on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ad-Dahlawi, he said in his book Tariq Ahlul Hadith, in page 25, that there is no doubt that Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, spoke the truth and was fair in his statement, that which he had said, that verily he was the first in the dunya, the first one in the world of Ahlul Hadith. And this narration about his situation, it is as if he was described as being from Ahlul Hadith in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to the great number of hadith that he had narrated from him.
وقال الشعبي وهو من التابعين رحمه الله تعالى ولو استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت ما حدثت إلا بما أجمع عليه أهل الحديث. انظر تذكرة الحفاظ الذهبي جيم واحد صفحة 83. فبين الشعبي وهو من التابعين بأن هذا اللقب أهل الحديث معروف حتى في زمن التابعين. وبين ذلك كذلك الذهبي في تذكرة الحفاظ جيم واحد صفحة 328. وكان في زمان هؤلاء يعني شجاع بن الوليد وعطاء بن السائب خلائق من أصحاب الحديث. فهذا الأمر معروف عند أهل الحديث وتسموا بهذا الاسم لخروج طوائف تدعي السنة وتدعي مناهج كثيرة، وهذه المناهج مخالفة للكتاب والسنة، فتسموا بأهل الحديث ليتميز أهل السنة من بين أهل البدع. وقال محمد بن الحسن، وهذا من أصحاب أبي حنيفة رحمه الله تعالى في الموطأ صفحة 363، كان ابن شهاب وهو الزهري أعلم عند أهل الحديث بالمدينة من غيره، والزهري من التابعين. وبين محمد ابن الحسن بأن الزهري من أهل الحديث. نعم.
نعم. Now the Sheikh went on to say that Ash-Sha'bi, the famous companion, may Allah have mercy on him, said, and if I met anyone, any man, then I would never turn away from him so long as he narrated what was found, what was agreed upon by the people of Hadith, by Ahlul Hadith. And he mentioned this phrase, Ahlul Hadith. And so he said clearly, Ash-Sha'bi here makes clear that the name Ahlul Hadith was well known to them, and it was a term that they used frequently. Also, Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his book, Tazkiratul Hufaz, the first volume, the 328th page, he said, and that was in a time when all of those, meaning Shuja' ibn Walid and Ata' ibn Sa'ib, and they were from the companions of Hadith. They were from Ashab al-Hadith. And he mentioned again the phrase Ashab al-Hadith, which is similar to Ahl al-Hadith. And he said they carried this name, and they took this name, or referred to as being Ashab al-Hadith, because in that time all of the different groups and different parties of innovators had come out, and they took this name so as to distinguish themselves from those people of innovation that had arisen in that time. And Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, who was from the companions of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in the Muwatta, which is on page 363, Kan Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri from the Tabi'un, from the followers of the companions, he was well known amongst Ahlul Hadith in Medina and other than Medina. So he mentioned here in the companion Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri that Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was well known amongst Ahlul Hadith in Medina. So the phrase is definitely not a new one.
وقال أبو بكر إسماعيلي رحمه الله تعالى في اعتقاد أئمة أهل الحديث صفحة 49، وهو يبين هذا الاسم بأنه موجود. اعلموا رحمنا الله وإياكم أن مذهب أهل الحديث أهل السنة والجماعة الأقرار بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. وقال ابن تيمية رحمه تعالى في الفتاوى جيم 3 صفحة 189، هذا اعتقاد الأمة وأمة أهل الحديث. وقال أبو حاتم الرازي رحمه تعالى، مذهبنا واختيارنا اتباع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه والتابعين، والتمسك بمذهب أهل الأثر مثل أبي عبد الله أحمد بن حنبل. وأنظر في هذا الاعتقاد للالكائي صفحة جيم 1 صفحة 179. وقال السجزي رحمه تعالى في الرسالة صفحة 200 أن المخالف من أصحاب الحديث وأهل الأثر، فهؤلاء الأئمة والعلماء يبينون هذا الاسم، وأن فرقة أهل الحديث موجودة، وهي الطائفة المنصورة والفرقة الناجية. نعم.
Now, then the Shaykh went on to show the statement, or to explain the statement of Abu Bakr Ismaili, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, in his book I'tiqad A'immat al-Hadith on page 49, in his book about the beliefs or the aqidahs of the Imams of Hadith. He said, no, for sure, or no, Rahiman Allah wa Iyakum, may Allah have mercy on us and on you, that verily the madhab of Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the madhab of Ahlul Hadith, the madhab of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, it is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. So here you have Abu Bakr al-Ismaili clearly showing that the name Ahlul Hadith was present in that time and it was used. And then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said in his fatawa, the third volume, the 189th page, he said, this is the i'tiqad of al-Ummah wal-A'immah. He said, this is the belief system of the nation, the entire nation, and the Imams of Ahlul Hadith. Again, it's mentioned again with the phrase Ahlul Hadith. And Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, our madhab, and what we choose to follow, or what we choose is to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his companions, and the tabi'un, and to stick closely and to hold tightly to the madhab of Ahlul Athar, another synonym for Ahlul Hadith, Ahlul Athar, mentioned specifically by Abu Hatim. And the examples are the likes of Abu Abdullah Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And that's found in Al-I'tiqad, the book by Al-Lalaka'i, the first volume, the 179th page. And also As-Sijzi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, he said in the book Ar-Risala, page 200, he said, verily those who oppose, they clarified clearly that the people of the truth were referred to as Ahlul Hadith. The people of the truth were referred to as Ahlul Hadith, and they are indeed the ta'ifa that is mansura, they are the group that is successful, and they are also the firqa, the sect that will be saved.
فمن هم أهل الحديث إذن هم من نهج نهج الصحابة والتابعين لهم بإحسان التمسك بالكتاب والسنة والعض عليهما بالنواجذ وتقديمهما على كل قول وهدى سواء في العقائد أو العبادات أو المعاملات أو الأخلاق أو السياسة أو الاجتماع فهم ثابتون في أصول الدين وفروعه على ما أنزله الله وأوحاه على عبده ورسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم القائمون بالدعوة إلى ذلك بكل جد وصدق وعزم وهم الذين يحملون العلم النبوي وينفون عنه تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين فهؤلاء هم أهل الحديث هم المتمسكون بالكتاب والسنة حق التمسك وعضون عليها بالنواجذ فعضوا عليها أي على السنة ونشروها لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما ثبت في حديث العرباض بن سارية رضي الله عنه وهو حديث صحيح أخرجه أبو داود في سننه والترمذي في سننه وأحمد في المسند وغيرهم وفيه فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين عضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين وجوب التمسك بالسنة ولا بد أن نعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وألا نحدث أي بدعة في ذلك لأن هذا هو الأصل وأهل الحديث حملوا العلم النبوي بالأدلة ونفوا عنه عن القرآن عن الإسلام عن الدين تحريف الغالين وانتحال المبطلين وتأويل الجاهلين نعم
Then the Shaykh went on to say, now that we have clarified that the term was well known to the Imams, we want to know who are the Ahlul Hadith then. Therefore, after we have clarified that the term was known and it was something referred to, then who are they then? He said, they are those who have taken the pathway of the companions and the tabi'un, those who followed the companions in righteousness, and they kept to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they held to it firmly with their molar teeth, and they put it in front of every statement and every other form of guidance, whether it was in areas of aqidah and belief, or it was in areas of worship, or areas of dealings, or areas of manners, or areas of politics, or areas of socialism. All of them, they were firm upon the basics in the deen and the branches of it, and upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed and inspired upon His servant and messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are the ones who were firm upon the da'wah to dhalik. They were the ones who were firm upon the call to that, to all of that which has proceeded. With every possible work, every possible ethic, and every possible truthfulness, and all desire, and all strength that they had. They are the people who carried the knowledge, the prophetic knowledge. And they are the people who kept away, or had turned away, and had cancelled from Islam, or had turned away the tahrif of the ghalin, the twisting of the people who go to excesses, and the people, the false talk of the people who deny the evidences, and the perversion of the ignorant ones who talk about the text. He said they are the mutamassikeen, they are the people who stick closely to the sunnah and held onto it with onto the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their molars. And they are those people who are described in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the people who implemented the hadith, which is the hadith of Al-Irbab ibn Sariyah, for when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then upon you is my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiin. Upon you is the sunnah of the righteously guided and upright successors. Hold on to that sunnah and with your molar teeth. So then they are the people who are acting according to this hadith, and the hadith is authentic and is found in the Sunan of Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and others. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in it, he clarified the obligation to stick to his sunnah, the obligation to stick to his way, and the prohibition of following other than his way from the innovated ways. So Ahlul Hadith, they are the ones who carried the sunnah, and they are the ones who carried the sunnah.
فهم الذين وقفوا بالمرصاد لكل الفرق التي حادت عن المنهج الإسلامي كالجهمية والمعتزلة والخوارج والروافض والمرجئة والقدرية وكل من شذ عن منهج الله تعالى واتبع هواه في كل زمان ومكان لا تأخذهم في الله لومة لائم هم الطائفة التي مدحها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وزكاها بقوله لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى تقوم الساعة وسلف تخريجه هم الفرقة الناجية الثابتة على ما كان عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه كما أسلفنا كذلك وهم الذين وضعوا نصب أعينهم قول الله تعالى واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا وكذلك قوله تعالى فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم وهم الذين جعلوا منهجهم فلو ربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما فهذا هو الأصل الذي قام عليه أهل الحديث التمسك بالكتاب والسنة على فهم السلف الصالح لأن لا نستطيع أن نفهم كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا بفهم الصحابة وفهم التابعين وفهم تابع التابعين فلا يستطيع أي أحد أن يفهم القرآن والسنة إلا بفهم هؤلاء وهذا يريد علم فيجب على كل مسلم أن يتعلم العلم الشرعي وهذا العلم فرضه الله سبحانه وتعالى على الناس كما في حديث أنس بن مالك وهو حديث حسن أخرجه الترمذي في سننه وغيره العلم فريضة على كل مسلم فلا بد أن نتخذ كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منهجا على فهم السلف الصالح ونتعلم ذلك لكي ننجو في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. نعم.
Then the Sheikh, he went on to say that they are the ones who stood up to every single group that came and they stood upon the Islamic methodology. And they stood against them, they stood against everyone who opposed it, like the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij and the Rafila and the Murji'a and the Qadariya. And every single group that went against the methodology of Allah Azza wa Jal and followed His desires and followed their desires in every place and in every time, as these people, the people who stood up against them will never worried about any blame that came to them. And they are the Ta'ifa, the group of people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised, and he testified to their goodness with his statement, "There will not cease to be a group of people from my nation upon the truth, uppermost. No one who opposes them will be able to hurt them, and those who oppose, and no one will be able to hurt them until Allah subhanahu until the establishment of the hour, and they are." The firqat al-najiyah, they are the saved sect, that which is established from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and what the companions were upon. And they are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the ones who implemented what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken of in His ayat, and hold tight all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. And in His statement, let them be aware, those who oppose His order, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a fitna, some kind of calamity will befall them, or a painful punishment. So they were the people who are the furthest from opposing the order of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the furthest from any type of fitna. And they were the ones also that took their manhaj from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and know by your Lord they will not believe until they make you judge between them and all things that they differ about, and they do not find in themselves any difficulty or any resistance to what you have decided, and they submit themselves with a full and complete submission. He said, so then here we have the Prophet, here we have Allah Azza wa Jal clarifying that the tamassuk, the obligation of holding fast to the way of Islam according to the understanding of the Sahaba, according to the way of the Tabi'un, and according to the followers of the Tabi'un. And from that tamassuk that we have to have is that we seek knowledge of Islam, and we seek to clarify or seek to understand what is that which is required of us from the religion, as is found in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, and it is authentic, it is hasan, as found in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. He said that knowledge is obligatory on every single Muslim. So then we have to implement this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seek knowledge of our manhaj, seek knowledge of the methodology that is correct, that which will save us from the trials of the dunya and the akhirah, from this life and the next.
فهم يعني أهل الحديث بعد صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى رأسهم الخلفاء الراشدون هم سادة التابعين وعلى رأسهم سعيد بن المسيب وعروة بن الزبير ثم أتباع التابعين وعلى رأسهم مالك والأوزاعي وسفيان الثوري وسفيان بن عيينة ثم أتباع هؤلاء وعلى رأسهم ابن المبارك ووكيع ابن الجراح والشافعي ثم تلاميذ هؤلاء الذين سلكوا منهجهم وعلى رأسهم الإمام أحمد بن حنبل ويحيى بن معين ثم تلاميذهم كالبخاري ومسلم ثم من جرى مجراهم في الأجيال بعدهم كابن جرير وابن خزيمة وعبد الغني المقدسي وابن قدامة وابن تيمية وأقران هؤلاء في عصورهم ومن تلاهم واقتفى أثرهم في التمسك بالكتاب والسنة إلى يومنا هذا هؤلاء الذين أعني بهم أهل الحديث وانظر مكانة أهل الحديث للشيخ ربيع المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى صفحة 10 و14 فهؤلاء هم الذين حفظوا الدين من بعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن بعد الصحابة فعلينا دائما الرجوع إلى أهل العلم إلى الأئمة والحفاظ لمن أراد النجاة ولا يرجع إلى فلان وفلان خاصة في هذا العصر الذين خرجوا علينا باسم المفكر الإسلامي والأستاذ الكبير والداعية الكبير وينقلون لكم كلامهم ومناهجهم في الجرائد والتلفاز وغير ذلك كالقرضاوي وأشكاله فهؤلاء لا يؤخذ منهم الدين ولا يؤخذ منهم المنهج ولا يؤخذ منهم السنة لأن هؤلاء فيهم انحراف وليس عندهم العلم الذي يستطيع أحدهم أن يبين كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعليك بهؤلاء الأئمة والحفاظ هم أهل العلم وهم الذين يقودون الأمة إلى كتاب الله وسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليك من يختفي أثر هؤلاء كالشيخ ابن باز كالشيخ ابن عثيمين كالشيخ الألباني وبقية المشايخ. فلذلك عليك بهؤلاء، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى كتب النجاة إلى الناس في هؤلاء الذين الناس يتبعونهم. نعم.
So he now goes on to name, the Sheikh goes on to name the specific ones, as we mentioned, the general picture of those who are Ahlul Hadith and what Allah has said about them and how they've taken their manhaj. He goes on to name, they are those from the Sahaba. At the head of them, they are like the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the righteous predecessors, the righteous Khulafa. And they are the heads of the Tabi'een. And furthermore, and like the heads of the Tabi'een, they are the likes of Sa'id ibn Musayyib, and they are like the likes of Urwa ibn Zubayr. And then the followers of the Tabi'een, at the head of them, Imam Malik, Wal-Awza'i, Wa-Sufyan al-Thawri, Wa-Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And then the followers of those people, at the head of them, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Wa-Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, Wal-Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. Then the students of those people, those who followed them in their manhaj, and at the head of them, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Yahya ibn Ma'in, and then their students like Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and then those who followed in their way from the generations that came later, like Ibn Jarir and Ibn Khuzayma, wa Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, wa Ibn Qudama, wa Ibn Taymiyyah, and then also all of the colleagues of those people, all of the people who lived along with them in their same times, and those who read with them and studied with them and followed their ways, followed their way of sticking firmly to the book and the sunnah all the way up until our day and time. Those are the ones who deserve, the ones who I am intending when I say Ahlul Hadith. And he said you can refer to the excellent book Makanatu Ahlul Hadith, the position or the status of the people of Hadith of our Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhali. And he said, those are the people who preserve the deen. Those are the people who had preserved Islam, and it is obligatory on us to return to them for our affairs, for whoever wants to be successful and whoever wants salvation. And we don't turn our affairs over to every fulan, to every individual, especially in this day and time. In this day and time where we have, for example, the Mufakkir al-Islami, the Islamic thinkers, and the great professors, and the people with these titles, for example, like the man named Al-Qaradawi and his examples, Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, and those like him. He said, knowledge is not taken from them. The deen of Islam is not to be taken from people like that. The sunnah is not to be taken from those people. The manhaj cannot be taken from those people, because verily they have no knowledge. And they have no knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they have no knowledge to bring the people clarification of what the sunnah is versus the bid'ah. So, we recognize that Ahlul Hadith that have been described so far in the book, they are the people of knowledge. They are the people of knowledge who are taken from. And the examples of them in our time are the likes of Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise Ibn Uthaymeen and Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And this is for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written salvation for. They hold on to the manhaj of these scholars, and they follow them in their example of holding to the deen of Islam.
فالدعوة الصحيحة هي دعوة أهل الحديث كما أسلفت، لكن منهم الدعوات الأخرى من سلك الطريق الوعظي المحض. ففي أناس من يدعي الدعوة إلى الله سلك المسألة الوعظية، فتجده مشغول بالوعظ ليلا ونهار. ومنهم من جنح إلى السياحة في الأرض كالتبليغيين، ومنهم من خاض سبيل السياسة كأخوان المسلمين، ومنهم من سار في درب المواجهة العسكرية كابن لاديين، ومنهم من نهج الأساليب الحزبية، عندهم تنظيم حزبي، ومنهم من امتطى الطرق الخيرية فتح له جمعيات خيرية وأعمال خيرية، فيجمع الأموال ثم ينهبها ويجعلها لحزبه. ومنهم من سلك في الطرق الصوفية, سلك الطرق الصوفية, ومنهم العقلانيون المفكرون. فهؤلاء الدعاة دعاة على باطل كما أسلفنا, والناجية طائفة واحدة. وبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم افتراق الأمة كما أسلفنا, وبين الشيخ ابن باز في هذه الفرق والجماعات منهم من هو كافر كالجهمية والمعتزلة, ومنهم من هو مبتدع كالأشاعرة, ومنهم العصاة, وهكذا. فالكل بحسبه. فالأمر هذا واضح من دعوة الحق ودعوة أهل الحديث, وهذا الذي بيناه منهج أهل الحديث باختصار. ولضيق الوقت نكتفي بذلك, وعلى الأخوان أن يقرأوا هذا الكتاب, كتاب الأزهار منثورة, ففيه تبيين منهج أهل الحديث جملة وتفصيلا, لكي هذا العبد لا يخرج من هذه الدنيا ويتوفاه الله إلا عارف أنه على الحق, وعارف أهل السنة, وعارف أهل البدعة, وعارف أهل الصواب وأهل الخطأ, وعارف أهل الحق وأهل الباطل. وهذا أصل بيناه فيما أسلفنا من الكلام. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
He said to finish off for this evening's lecture, there are those out there who have taken the path of admonitions, simply just giving the people admonitions. And then there are those who have just taken the path of politics upon the earth. They have filled the, sufficed themselves with politics. As he said, like Ikhwan al-Muslimin. And he said, the people who are busy with these admonitions, they are like Jamaat al-Tabligh. And he said, there are those who have simply just taking the path of fighting and gathering armies, and they are like the people who belong to Bin Laden sect. And they are like, there are also the people who have taken other avenues of biased partisanship, and there are also those who have chosen to go the way of khayriya, of organizing the money of the people and soliciting donations from the people. And then they use that, the donations, and they give the donations to the people of Hizbiyah to promote Hizbiyah. And you find those who have taken this path are the Sufiyah, the Sufis. And they have, there are those who blend in their manhaj with the other manhajs. And there are those who follow their intellects, and there are those who take their intellects as their guides, and there are those who are just emotional, and those who speak based on emotion, and other than that, from all of the different groups. So he said, as Ibn Baz and the other ulama have explained, rahimahullah ta'ala, that from these groups there are kafir. Some from those groups, because of their straying from the correct manhaj, there are those who are kafir, like the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, and there are those who are considered disobedient and people of straying, but however still inside of Islam, like the Ash'ariyah and other than them. He said, so finishing our book this evening, he advises all of us that we read this book, since it's been translated into English, and it is a book which will allow us to have insight into the manhaj of the people of Hadith, the manhaj of the people of the Haqq, and will allow us to have knowledge of it and to be acquainted with this manhaj, which will allow us to separate ourselves from the people of innovation. It allows us to know what is the way of Ahlul Sunnah and the way of Ahlul Hadith, and to know what is the way of Ahlul Bid'ah and the way of straying, so that we can separate ourselves from them. And he said, so as not to go very long this evening, we'll suffice with that. And he further encouraged us all to read the book. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَارَكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ